It's time now for Straight from the Bible with Pastor Jimmy McMillan. Straight from the Bible is a ministry of Baptist Tabernacle Church located in LaGrange, Georgia on South Davis Road. And now, Pastor McMillan.
Well, if you'll take your Bible and turn to Matthew, the 12th chapter, verse 34. The Bible says, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. In other words, what's in your heart cannot be hidden. It's eventually going to come out, whether it be words or whether it be action, it's going to come out. Now, the Bible says, O generation of vipers. Jesus and John the Baptist both, they told the Pharisees that, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. And if we go over in Mark, it's talking about our actions. It says, from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lavishness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. And then for such a reason, God, He gives us the Scripture. Thank God for His Word. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of the life. The issues of life. If we put it in, it's going to come out. It's going to lead us in our life. The reality of biblical principles is recognized outside of the religious world. A lot of them don't like to claim that it is, but it reaches out, way out. In the early days of the computers, the programmers, they coined this term. They called it GIGO. GIGO or GIGO. But what it meant was garbage in, garbage out. Garbage in, garbage out. And they said the quality of what comes out of a computer depends on the quality that's put into that computer. Bad data produces bad results. Good data imputed, it produces good results. Now that's just about as clear as I believe that you can explain. That's the way us humans are. In fact, in my life, I never remember growing up not going to church. Now, mom and daddy was like this. That wasn't an option for us, was we going to church. They was the parents. We were the kids. The kids didn't tell the parents what to do. The parents told the kids what to do. So when I would say, I don't think I'm going to go today, and they'd say, well, you better think again. And then, if you don't go, I'm going to whip you. And then you're going to go, and I might whip you again. So, that when some people say, well, you shouldn't make your kids go to church. Let me tell you what. If you love them, you'll make them go. If you love them, you will make them go. I don't care if they want to go or if they don't. My parents seen at a young age to where that they was getting God's word in his heart. Because they knew along this life, I was going to have it. Why? Because they had to have it. And all the time during my life, God's word came out in some of my time, and I called it inopportune times. Times I didn't really like it to come out. But I want to tell you, if it hadn't have been for the love that my parents had and wanted to make sure that I had godly instruction in my life and in my heart, I would not be standing here today. See, folks, it's a matter of life and death. And they made sure that I went to Sunday school, Now, they could have rolled over in the bed and slept a while, couldn't they? And as a kid, I'd have said, boy, that's good. I like it. Wouldn't you? How many of y'all, as a kid, you'd say, oh, boy, that's good. We're going to get sleep in. Oh, yeah, you jumped on it in a minute. And of course, some parents tell me, oh, my kid's not like it. Well, then they not alive. Yeah, they seen to it that I went to Sunday school. At that time, we had RAs. We had at night. We had training union. And then we had Wednesday night service. And they seen to it that I was there every time. I can't remember on up till I got grown. I can't remember a time when I wasn't at church. And then when I got grown and I got married and I moved out, I said, I'm going to show them. If I don't want to go to church, I ain't going to church. And for a long time, I didn't go to church. I didn't live right and I didn't do right. But you know what? All of that time, that word was still working on me. Working in me. It was right in there. The world is telling all the parents, don't you parents listen. The world is telling all you parents today, everything is more important than godly training. You say, I don't know. Yes, it is. You look around, you see. Everything is more important when godly training is life-giving, not only on this earth, but for eternal life. Godly training is the most important training a child or grown-up can get. I believe in get all the school you can, get all the college you can, but if you don't have the Word of God in there, you still don't have anything. You might get a degree, but I tell you what, when you walk up to heaven's gate and you come up and say, I got a degree on this, praise God, that's not going to get you in that gate, but good godly wisdom and understanding, and when you've been born again, that'll get you in the gate, not because you're a good old boy or a good old gal, but because you've been born again. Yes, it's important. Godly training is the most important. This is why it's important to hide God's word in our heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I've had people to come to me and they say, I don't understand why my life is like this. And I sit there and say, let's do a little adding up. How much of God have you put in your life? How much of God's word have you put in? Have you got sloppy on your attendance? Have you got sloppy on reading God's word? Have you got sloppy on repenting? Have you got sloppy on your praying? See, folks, it takes God. You've got to be putting God's word and God in all of the time. If you don't, Satan's going to come after you and he's going to win. Amen. So, yes, at a very early age, how many of y'all remember as a kid some of the Bible stories that they taught you and some of the little things and, you know, I pray the Lord lay me down to sleep and all, and you know, all of that. All of that stays with you. And then as you grow, God's word grows within you. It says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. And you know, you've seen we do the baby dedications. And actually, the baby dedication is a parent dedication. God, I'm going to live right. I'm going to serve you. And I'm going to see that my child has got all the training and understanding of God's being, God's word, and attending, being faithful in God's house. That's what it is, a parent dedication. When God's word is on the inside, it eventually works its way outside. Amen. Its manifestation first is going to be in words. It's going to come out in words. I want you to notice, I'm just going to read little bits out of some of our founding forefathers. And in some of their different speeches and writings. And I want you to just look at how God's word affected them. Benjamin Franklin, he was at the Constitutional Convention. And early in the week, the convention, it was marked by strong disagreement. Some of the delegates, they were beginning to lead the convention. They started getting frustrated. They started having disgust. Benjamin Franklin stood up. He started off, he says, "Have we now forgotten that powerful friend? Or do we imagine we no longer need his assistance? I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And we have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings, that except the Lord build the house, thy labor in vain that build it." Now, I just read little pieces from that speech. It was very long. But in that speech, he quoted 8 different Bible phrases. Those Bible phrases appear in 13 different Bible verses. And you're going to say, well, why is this important? He read the groping in the dark. In Job, it says, "They grope in the dark without light. He maketh them to stagger like a drunken man." He used the Father of lights. "Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." He used, "A sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God." None, and in Mark, he's got the verse again. And then he reads out, "Can an empire rise without God's aid? But God is the judge. He putteth down one, he setteth up another. Except the build the house, thy labor in vain that build it. The Lord build thy house, thy labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain." And then he talked about the builders of Babel. "And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower and the children of men built. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. They have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them, and they have imagined to do." You know, one might would say, why is this important? Somewhere along Benjamin Franklin's life, at a very crucial time in other times, the Word of God came out. He used a reproach and a byword, "And thou shalt become an astonishment," a proverb and a byword, "among all nations where the Lord shall lead thee." Somewhere in his life, the Word of God went in. Somewhere in his life, he read the Bible, he studied the Bible, he knew the Bible. So when he stood up, at all times, the Bible was going to come out. And here's the sad thing, many in our day, in our time, could read that and not recognize that that's in God's Word. That's part of God's Word. You know, in Benjamin Franklin's time, the people knew God's Word. They didn't have to stand up and say, this is from the Bible. When it was read, the people knew that it was from the Bible. And they didn't glorify anything. Say, well, you know, he used a Bible verse in his speech. No. Why? Because they said it was a shame not to know it. It was a shame not to know the Word of God. John Quincy Adams, he affirmed, he said, with regard to the history contained in the Bible, it is not so much praiseworthy to be acquainted with as it is shameful to be ignorant of it. In their day, they knew the Word of God, and it was a shame not to know it. It was normal for people to know the Word of God. Boy, wouldn't that be the normal today? For people, for all of us, to know the Word of God. And Patrick Henry, he used biblical verses all through his speeches. "Sir, we are not weak if we make a proper use of those means which the God of nature have placed in our place and our power. Almighty God, I know what course others might take. But as for me, give me liberty or give me death." Many don't realize that's a Bible phrase. "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorite in whose land you dwell. But as far as me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Thank God for that. In Patrick Henry's speech there, he used some 10 Bible verses in there. George Washington, shortly after the American Revolution, Congress met and they come up with the Land Ordinance of 1785. And this is what he had to say. I wish to see the sons and daughters of the world in peace and busily employed in the more agreeable amusement of fulfilling the first great commandment, increase and multiply. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. What do you mean? They put God's word in, and guess what? God's word came out. I can't tell you how many times, this is not going to sound good, but it's the truth. I don't know how many times God's word came out and ruined a good drunk I was on. Told you it wasn't going to sound good. Man, I'm sitting there just getting drunk as everything. Guess what? There comes God's word rolling out of there. It would make me mad. I would say things I shouldn't say. I would talk in a way that I ought not to talk. But God's word came out. Amen. Amen. Why? Because my parents loved me enough that they're going to see that I was in church. They didn't stand up with none of these little wiggly-woggly excuses. I don't feel good today. Praise God. There's too many Sunday sickness and miraculous healings on Monday. Amen. They loved me enough, they pulled that belt out and they would tear Jackie up with it. Amen. They loved us enough to correct us. And you might say, well, it didn't do much good. Well, I'm standing here today. Amen. The heart. Now listen, folks, the heart is the fountain. Of what's in that fountain, it's going to come out in that stream, and it's going to flow out in your life. I probably ought not ask it. Don't none of you blink, raise your hand, or nothing. I don't want you to move. I don't want you to do anything. And I ain't even going to look at you. Has there been times to where you would just fill your heart up with all kind of cussing, all kind of things that ought not to be there? You'd pack that heart full of it. And then all of a sudden, it starts coming out. Would that be a very true statement to say here today? God said, of what you put in, it's going to come out. As a fountain casteth out her water, so he casteth out her wickedness. Violence and spoil is hurting her. Before me continually is grief and wounds. Troubled water. You can get upstream. You can get where there's fountain. And you can trouble that water. You can stir it up. And all downstream is going to be muddy. Why? Because you've got it all stirred up. The heart is the fountain. You know, a wicked heart, what's it going to send out? How many of y'all, if a rattlesnake bites you, if you don't do something, you're going to die. Why? Sucker's filled up with venom. That's why. And if you don't get something in you, you're going to die. I don't care if you train that rattlesnake to jump through hoops. You can dress that joker up in a three-piece suit and march him in here, but guess what's going to come out of him? Venom. He might look good and even spray some cologne on him. He might smell good, but all that's going to come out is venom. And that's what Jesus told the Pharisees right here. You know, only thing that's going to straighten that fountain out is the great, great salt of God's grace. You cast that into the stream, it'll heal the waters. Praise God, it'll season the speech. It'll purify. It'll take that that is corrupt and make it right. Why should you read the Word of God? Because it'll clean you up. That's why. Thank God the Word of God is like these little advertisements with these scrubbing bubbles. It gets inside. It washes the heart out. It washes the blood out. It cleans the mind out. Next thing you know, you got all the garbage out. Hey, what you going to get out of a garbage truck? If you go to a garbage dump, what you going to get? Why? That's what's put in there. Boy, aren't y'all glad that God loves us? How many of y'all glad that God loves us and forgives us? How many sinners we got out there this morning? Praise God, every one of you are, because the Bible said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But thank God that our Father says, for those that will come before Him and repent and ask, He will forgive the mercy, the grace of an almighty God. Amen. God said, hey, you want that fountain straightened out? You got to put the right stuff in. You got to put that salt of God's grace in there. God said, I'll clean it up. I'll get you straight. John the Baptist, Jesus, both called the Pharisees a generation of vipers. What was he saying? What's inside's going to come out. You can clean it up just like you did that snake. You can put a three-piece suit on it just like you want to. Even spray some good cologne on it. But what's going to come out is venom. All going to come out. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who had warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Did you know the people looked at the Pharisees of those days as a generation of saints? They did. They looked at them as a generation of saints. Jesus looked at them and said, you're a generation of vipers. Why? Because they became the enemy of Christ. They were the enemy of the gospel. And Jesus said, all that what you put in, it's going to come out. Nothing but poison, it's going to come out. Bad things may it be expected from bad people. As Proverbs says, as saith the proverb of the ancient, wickedness proceedeth from the wicked, but my hand shall not be upon thee. A vile person will speak in a way, it says, for the vile person will speak villainy, and his heart will work iniquity. To practice hypocrisy, to utter error against the Lord, to make empty the soul of the hungry, he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. There's many that might want to pretend, many that might want to act. God said, the Pharisees, but I like this, what God told Ezekiel, it says, and thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns be with thee, thou dost dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor dismayed at their looks. Though they be a rebellious house. God told him, he said, look, there came a roll in front of him. God said, eat it. That's my word. He began, and the Bible says that God caused him to eat it, and he began to eat it. And then it became sweet and honey to him. And then when he got full, God said, now, you go out and you tell my people. You go out and give my word out. What did it mean? God says, I got to fill you up where you have something when you go out to give out. Because if I put in the good's going to come out. If we put in the good will come out. A good man out of good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. Evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. The character of a good person depends on the treasure that they put in their heart. You know, if they put the good things in there, guess what's going to come out? Good things. I can look around here this morning, and I can see a lot of us that where we didn't put the good things in. We put in a lot of bad things. But God says, if you'll put my graces, you'll put my comfort, my experiences, my knowledge, my word, good affections, good resolutions, these are good treasures in your heart. Then you'll have a good treasury to pull from. How many of y'all I know you do. You like chicken, all right? If you take a chicken and set it outside till it gets smelly, do you take it and put it in your refrigerator and a later day go in there and pull that smelly chicken out and cut it up and cook it and eat it? Why? It's ruined. It's smelly. It's stinky. And you ain't going to like the taste of it. You wouldn't do that. And you're sitting there and you're saying, preacher, that's just flat crazy. And I'll agree with you. It is crazy. And how crazy is it to put bad stinking in your heart, in your life, and expect the good to come out when you hadn't put no good in there at all? Huh? It's just as bad as the chicken. It's worse than a chicken. Amen. God said you put that valuable treasure in your heart and you guard it. Daddy used to tell me, he said, son, he said, you guard your testimony. You guard your witness. He said, because Satan's going to come at you and he's going to do everything he can to destroy your testimony and your witness. And boy, how right he is. Amen. You know, I've learned, the older I get, I learned Daddy knew a whole bunch of stuff. You know, he knew a whole lot. I see a lot of things that he told me. And I say, man. And it takes a while to sort of catch up to understand what he was saying. Why? Putting the good in. God says, you put the good in and you guard it. You guard it. You watch after it. You keep it safe. You keep it a secret. Store it in your heart. And boy, when you get it there, watch over it. Junk in, junk out. Good in, good out. I like that right there. That I don't think you can get it no more clearer than that right there. A good man, you can rest assured, he's got a good treasure in his heart. The Bible tells us the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. In the lips of him that understanding wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void to understanding. We experienced the rod. We understood. After a while, wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. The tongue of the just is the choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. God says, to bring out good things have got to go in. There's many that God has given great and wonderful talents, and they hadn't used those talents for the glory of God, and they're not storing them as a treasure. George Washington, he was making a visit to Rhode Island. The Hebrew congregation, they had written him a letter to welcome him there in the town. He wrote the letter back. He said, may the Father of all mercies, light and not darkest in our past, make us all in our several vocation useful here, and in his own due time, and was everlasting happy. This is an insert right here from just a little piece of one of his speeches. We've got groups going around today, and they claim that our forefathers was atheists, agnostics, deists, and such claims like that, it's just flat ridiculous. And you just about could laugh at it. But then when you get to thinking, so many Christian people are accepting it and believing it. When you go all through our forefathers, the speeches, their letters, their life, you read. And I tell you what, I want to challenge every one of you here today. We need to brush up on our American history. We need to go back. And I want you, how many of y'all will go on that internet, the outer net and Joe net, and click in there and read? Won't take you but just a little bit. Just a little bit of some of our forefathers' writings and speeches. Will you do that? Raise your hand. I want you to make a commitment to God. If you don't intend to, don't raise your hand. If you don't raise your hand, just say, I don't care. It don't matter. That's what the world's going to get in. Read it and just see. You'll see God's Word all in there. God's Word is laced all through the United States of America. And God has so much blessed our country. A good man out of good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. For the mouth speaks out that which fills the heart. Because of what was put into my life and my heart, one day God dealt with my heart and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Am I perfect? No, I'm not even close to it. Is my God perfect? Yes, He is. Is my salvation perfect? Yes, it is. Is my forgiveness perfect? Yes, it is. God will forgive me of all. The only sin that God don't forget is the rejection of Jesus Christ. Amen. There is no forgiveness for that. Amen. But boy, I thank God that God did deal with my heart. I ask you here today, if your life ended right now, where would it be for you, heaven or hell? Where would it be? If you say, well, I don't know, I'm not sure, I'm going to go on and tell you right now, you've never been born again. Amen. Because if you've been born again, you know you're going to heaven. See, going to heaven is not like a lottery. Well, I might win or I might not. It's a sure thing. Christians, if you're not right with God, it would be a wonderful time to get your life and your heart right with God. Amen. The change that our God can make and the touch of God on your life. There's no life better than a good, godly Christian life. Amen. You know, nowhere in the Bible did God say, you become a Christian, you'll have a life of ease. Nowhere in it you'll find some of these fair weather preachers. They'll tell you that. But I want to tell you, when you pick up your cross and you follow Him, you'll know it. But I want to tell you, right in the middle of the storm, listen to me, when it all hits and it don't seem no way out, God says, I'm your refuge. Amen. Right in the middle of that storm. God says, you got a shelter. Right in the middle of that storm, God says, I'll wrap you around you. I'll love you. I'll help you. And I'll protect you.
Thanks for listening to Straight from the Bible with Pastor Jimmy McMillan from Baptist Tabernacle in LaGrange, Georgia. Straight from the Bible can be heard each Tuesday morning at 11 o'clock right here on WOAK. You can contact us by going to our website at baptisttabernacle.ws. That's WS for World Savior. Please join us again next week for another great message, Straight from the Bible.